Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
I like these responsive readings because they are participatory. We participate together in the Word of God. It's what the early church did, and it's what we must continue to do, as it is the Word of God that shapes the people of God. There's just four simple lines in this responsive reading that's entitled Refuge, but these four simple lines speak volumes, especially with what we will be talking about today. Responsive reading 31, entitled Refuge. I'll read the regular print. You read the bold print with me. Have mercy on us, O God. Have mercy on us. We take refuge in the shadow of your wings. God sends his love and his faithfulness. Amen. Thank you for reading that with me. And we read this responsive reading together because today we're going to talk about the Psalms of Lament, the Lament Psalms. We've been in this series the last several weeks called Summer in the Psalms. What a journey it has been. If you set out to read through the Psalms, you're in for a ride. Buckle your seatbelt because the Psalms mirror our journey through life. The highs, the lows, the mountains, the valleys. It speaks to every issue that we encounter in life. And that's one of the reasons why we resonate so well with the Psalms, is because it speaks to our heart's condition. It speaks to where we're at. And the truth of God's Word is timeless. And so today we want to talk about the Lament Psalms. Now, as I was thinking about these Lament Psalms and thinking about today, I came to realize that these Lament Psalms are just as difficult, if not more so difficult, than those imprecatory Psalms that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Because the Lament Psalms speak deep from within the anguish of our soul and our heart. What is a lament? When we talk about the Lament Psalms, what is lament? Well, a lament is very simply the passionate expression of grief or sorrow. And so, as you're reading through the Psalms, you're going to come across those praise and thanksgiving Psalms. Those are great. You're going to come across the Psalms that speak of our exalted and majestic God. Those are wonderful. But then you're going to come across these Psalms of lament that speak to the grief and sorrow and heartaches of life. Now, evangelical churches do many things well. You go to most any evangelical church in North America or even around the world, you'll see that we do things fairly well. We worship well. I mean, how can you not sit in our worship service this morning and just not be moved by the beautiful singing that we heard today? We worship well. We fellowship well. You know, we get together well. We have lots of activities. We evangelize pretty well, and we do discipleship well, although we can do better with that. We do potlucks really well. I mean, that's where we're really good at, you know. But I'll tell you, one of the things we don't do well at all is lament. We just have dropped the ball when it comes to lament. Why? Well, I'll get to some of the reasons why I think we don't lament very well. But I think one of the big reasons we don't lament very well is because we're doing pretty well. We don't know what true persecution is. We don't know what real hardship is. We don't really know what true systemic sorrow is, unless it affects us. But I think by and large, evangelical churches, especially here in North America, have been far removed from hardship and persecution and suffering. Generally, when compared to the rest of the world and other churches, Things are going pretty well for the evangelical church in North America. We're pretty well insulated from the hardships that many of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world are experiencing. Just this morning I saw a survey asking Americans what are the top two issues they are most concerned about right now. Among Democrats, the top two issues were the economy and jobs and COVID. And among Republicans, the top two issues that they were most concerned about were the economy and jobs and border control. Those were the top issues that came up in this survey about what people are dealing with today, what they're most concerned about. Do you know what didn't come up? Afghanistan and the humanitarian disaster that's happening there. Why? Because we feel like it really doesn't affect us. I would say it probably indirectly affects us. But because we feel like issues happening halfway around the world don't directly affect us, it's not really a concern for us. But I'll tell you who it does affect. It affects those precious people in Afghanistan and the Christians in the churches there right now, who I guarantee you are lamenting their situation. And to your credit, most of you, I think, who are on social media have given a shout out and expressed solidarity and lament on behalf of what's happening there in Afghanistan, and I give you credit for that. But by and large, we evangelical Christians don't lament very well because we're doing pretty well. Even with all of our concern for the economy and jobs and what's happening, compared to a large swath of the global population, we're still doing pretty well. Several years ago now, I was having breakfast with an associate pastor who was the associate pastor of what was at the time the largest church here in Springfield. And we were having breakfast and having a good time. And I don't remember how the conversation came about to this topic. We were talking about finances. And he said, you know, we were looking at our finances as a church, and we just had $20,000 sitting in an account somewhere, and we just didn't really know what to do with it. So we decided we're going to remodel the fireside room. No big deal. I didn't say anything to him, but I thought to myself, wow, that's a fifth of our annual operating budget. Can you imagine what that kind of money, just sitting around, you didn't know what to do with, could do for a smaller church or for those in the community who were hurting, needed rent assistance or food or whatever? I share that story with you just to remind you that the evangelical church in North America, by and large, is doing pretty well. We've got our buildings, we've got our finances, we've got our things going on. We're doing pretty well. So why lament? If we're doing so well and we're pretty content, what's the need for lament? I would propose to you that much of our so-called happiness in North America is a charade. That underneath the surface of the happiness and the smiling faces and the way we tend to cover up our hurts and our heartaches, that underneath all that, there are some real deep hurts and wounds and sorrows and griefs that we try to cover up with superficialities. And so rather than turning to God with all of our deep hurts and sorrows and laments, we tend to cover them up. And we do a pretty good job of covering them up. But the Psalms of lament here that we're going to look at show us, remind us, point us in the direction that the healthiest way to deal with the issues that are underneath the surface are really to give them to the Lord. Rather than bottle them up, rather than hide them, rather than sweep them under the rug and not deal with the issues that we are dealing with, the best thing we can do is give them to the Lord. Any psychologist will tell you that it's not good to bottle up stuff, right? You've got to get it out. Otherwise, issues will just well up deep within you. And so the Psalms of Lament remind us, teach us, that it is good and healthy to give and express our sorrows to the Lord. Some of the phrases you might hear when you come across a lament psalm are like you would read in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? Or hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear us, O God. Turn to Psalm 80. Let's look at a couple of these lament psalms together. Psalm chapter 80. And again, the purpose of this series is just to allow the Word of God to speak for itself. There's a reason why these lament psalms are in here. As the people of God back in ancient times were dealing with hardships and sorrows and sufferings of their own, most of them were due to their own shortcomings, their own sins and failures and rejection of God. There are three words that we absolutely do not like to say, especially for men. I am lost. Oh, we men hate to say those words. We hate to admit that we're lost, right? But really, you can't get to where you're going until you finally realize and come to admit that you are lost. Psalm 80, Psalm of Lament, speaks on our behalf to God and declares that we are lost. Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7. Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim and shine forth between Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God. So this restoration here means that something has been lost. What we once had has been lost, removed, gone. And this prayer of lament is, God, restore us. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. As you watch the news and you think about what's happening in our country today, this right here, verse 3, is a great prayer to pray over our nation. Even as Jesus lamented over Jerusalem, and what did the scriptures say? He wept. This great, magnificent city of God, Jesus wept over the city. As you stay informed and you see what's happening in our community and in our country and around the world, make verse 3 your prayer. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. Not just that I may be saved. That's one of the other things the evangelical church has done very, very well, is we've stressed individual salvation. Come to the altar, pray the sinner's prayer, get saved. That's wonderful. But we haven't done communal salvation very well. A prayer of, God, save us as a nation. Save us as a community. Save the nations of the world. Save us, O God. Verse 4. O Lord God Almighty, how long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us a source of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Here it is again, verse 7. Restore us, O God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. What a great prayer to pray today, right here now, with all that our country and with all that our world is dealing with. With all that's happening in our community, what a prayer. Verse 3, verse 7 of Psalm 80. Restore us, O God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. Go to verse 14 of that same chapter, Psalm 80, verse 14. Return to us, O God Almighty. Well, what does that imply? The implication here is that once God was with us, and now He's left us. Or more accurately, we left Him. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine. The root your right hand has planted, the son you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down, it is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Hey, here's that verse again, verse 19. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. I am lost, all those three dreaded words that we hate to speak and admit. But I would say to you that if we can humble ourselves enough to say, God, I am lost, restore us, return to us, that God hears our prayers through the prayers of lament, and He will answer our prayers. Turn to Psalm 85. Psalm 85, just a couple chapters over. We'll look at a couple more of these lament psalms. So I am lost. Here's another three words that we really don't like to say. I am sad. Or I am sorrowful. Psychologists tell us that a large portion of the population, especially men, are more depressed than they let on. We just don't like to admit the fact that we are sad. Who wants to admit that? Hey, how's it going? Oh, things are going just fine. When deep down inside, we know that they're not. So if we can just get past the fact and admit that we are sad, that we are sorrowful, God will meet with us and engage us. And so Psalm 85 helps us express our sorrow in terminology and in ways that we may not be able to. Let's look at the entire chapter, Psalm 85. You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all the wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. There's that phrase again that you'll see over and over and over again in these lament psalms. Restore us again, O God, our Savior. Verse 5, will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to His people, His saints, but let them not return to folly. Surely His salvation is near those who fear Him, that the glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before Him and prepares the way for His steps. If we can just admit, God, we are sorrowful. We have turned from You. We have not been as faithful to You as perhaps we should have been. I am sad. God, hear the prayers of Your people. We are sorrowful for our condition. And so our prayer is, Lord, restore us, revive us. One of the prayers here that I found very interesting here in verse 8 is, I will listen to what the Lord will say. Or other translations say, I will hear the voice of God. The psalmist here is praying, Lord, I want to be able to hear Your voice. I want to be able to listen to You. Let me give you an example of how this resonated with me so clearly, very clearly, just this last week. So every month, our church hosts a breakfast and a time of gathering for our local Nazarene pastors in the area. It's just a great time of, you know, we get together, we pray, we worship, and we learn from each other. We're grateful to be able to host that here. Our meeting this month was just this last Tuesday, a couple of days ago. And so I, on my way here, stopped at the store. And this month, just, you know, we wanted to keep it light. You know, sometimes we'll cook a big breakfast, you know, we'll go all out. But this month, said we'll just kind of take it easy. And I got some donuts from the grocery store. Great looking donuts. I mean, not that we need donuts, but, you know. So I'm at the store, we got the donuts, and I kept hearing Renee's voice in the back of my mind. She wasn't with me, but I could hear her say, "You just can't serve pastries. You got to have some kind of fruit to go with it." So I'm looking at all the beautiful fruit. I mean, there's strawberries and blueberries, and they've got cut up, you know, watermelon. I'm thinking, this would make Renee proud of me. Not only did I get donuts, but I got fruits. You know, we're going to be healthy. And I'm telling you, it was so very clear to me, standing there at Albertson's, looking over the fruit, I heard a voice inside of me say, "John, don't get any fruit." I knew it was God's voice, but it didn't make sense to me. You know, I'm trying to do the right thing, you know, I'm trying to provide a balanced breakfast for the pastors that gather. I'm thinking, but God, look at these strawberries, and Renee would be so proud of me, and these blueberries, and that watermelon looks really good, and the cut-up cantaloupe. And again, I heard that voice. I can't explain it to you. It's just that voice that's within you. "John, don't get any fruit." It didn't make any sense to me. And I have to admit, standing there in Albertson's, I kind of had a little argument with God. It just doesn't make any sense. But I've been walking with God long enough to know that even though it doesn't rationally make sense, I've got to listen to his voice. So I did not buy the fruit. I was kind of pouting all the way back to the car, all the way to the church. Fine, I'm going to give these pastors donuts and they're not going to have any fruit. Lo and behold, the pastors from Florence Church, Jeff and Diana, wonderful couple, they walk in with this huge box of fresh peaches, because they have a peach tree in their backyard. And they came in with this huge box of peaches and set it down and said, "Hey, do you have any use for these this morning?" Oh my goodness. The voice of God. If we learn to listen and not argue with God and just obey, God knows what he's doing. And so part of our lament is learning to hear the voice of God, even in our sorrow, even in our troubles, in our heartaches, because God is faithful. He does not leave us. He still wants to engage us and guide us in the direction we need to go, even if in our own minds it doesn't rationally make sense. Verse 8, "I will listen to the voice of the Lord and what he has to say." So we've got to learn to be able to say, as we read through these lament psalms, "God, I am lost. God, I am sad or sorrowful." And finally, we've got to say these other three words that we really don't like to say. And that is, "I am sorry." We don't like to say those words. But I'll tell you what, if you want to have a long and happy marriage, you better learn those three words quickly. "I am sorry." Not only to God, but to each other. For we do sin against each other. Turn to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, as we wrap things up here. "Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. The arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, men without regard for you. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. I'm lost. I'm sad. I'm sorry. You know, we sang that song, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. The heart of worship. And I want to say to you that these lament psalms are just as much a part of our worship as the praise and thanksgiving songs that we sing. And we need to do a better job as a church of lamenting before God and saying, I'm lost, I'm sad, and I'm sorry. Lament keeps us humble, and humility is the single virtue we need that keeps us focused on the Lord. Lament is our cry of being brokenhearted, but Psalm 34:18 tells us that God is near to the brokenhearted. If lament is a sign of weakness, then I say bring it on. Because the New Testament reminds us, the Apostle Paul so beautifully articulates for us that in our weaknesses, when we are weak, that's when he is strong.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.